you got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time.
It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein.
And a great Friday afternoon to you. Darren Rogers here along with Kevin Kirstein, talking horse racing till the top of the hour. Opening day at Churchill Downs for the 11-day September meet. And KK, wasn't the easiest days of gambling over at Churchill Downs for the 10-race program. We've got a pick five carryover tomorrow to chase, a late pick five carryover of $52,391. Nobody could hit the pick five. So that'll spice up the Saturday card, mm-hmm. and that's on races 7 through 11. Again, it's on the late pick five. And then the single six jackpot also was not hit, so you have a carryover of more than $8,800.
Or the super high five was not hit either for a carryover of $1,000 and change. And I was laughing, Darren, you brought out, how many sheets of paper do you think that is that you just pulled out?
Well, I told you coming into that, I said, boy, when the last race goes at, about
525.
525, 530 by the time it's come official and we're rushing over here, I said, this is going to be a little bit of a scramble. So the music starts. I'm sending the last race charts to the Courier Journal and we plop open. I've got about, I don't know. What do you think, a ream of paper?
I think so.
it's organized.
But that's how much stuff is going on to start this September meet. It's a fun 10-day meet.
Ten days
left now. It's 11-day meet after today. And, yeah, it was pretty impossible to choose some of those winners today. But, I mean, that just spices up tomorrow's card even more.
What's the stat you gave me earlier?
There were 10 different jockeys and 10 different trainers that won today's races. So that's pretty cool. And the crazy thing about it is our reigning September meet leading jockey, Corey Lannery, did not win a race.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I know.
That is
to think
amazing.
Of it.
The second race was the feature Zulu Alpha rolled by 9.5 under Channing Hill. That was on the turf course. And then the eighth race, an open three-year-old second level allowance. Cowboy Karma got the job done for Gabe Saez and Larry Jones, winning by 2.25 lengths. The favorite, Principe Guillerme, finished last.
Yeah.
And then we had a maiden special weight winner, the High Regard, for Vicky Oliver. Nice win by a length for the two-year-old fillies going a mile and on the main track. But the biggest curveball was Will Van Meter collecting a victory with Firehorn in the seventh race, paid $79.80.
Here's where I kicked myself today, because I didn't, now saying this, I did not have the last race winner, but I used the all ball in the pick four for to start that race with Will Van Meter. So I'm sitting on a $70+ horse. I'm getting all excited, and then
it happens.
I didn't have I had 2 of 4, so I gotta, But when you have a $70 winner, when you kick
tomorrow.
Off a sequence.
But there's tomorrow.
There's tomorrow.
And we have 11 races on tap tomorrow at Churchill Downs. First race is at 12:45. Four stakes races on tap. Begins with race number 8, The Open Mind, where Vertical Oak for Steve Asmussen is going to be a heavy favorite in there. Ninth race is the Locust Grove for fillies and mares. They're going a distance of ground. Blue Prize is coming back after winning the Fleur-de-Lis Handicap on Stephen Foster Handicap Night. Trainer Nacho Correas will be one of our guests on tonight's show. Looking forward to visiting with him. He's got an interesting story. And then the other two races, the Iroquois, which kicks off the Road to the Derby, and is a Breeders' Cup, which is for the two-year-old fillies. That'll kickstart the Road to the Oaks, and the winner will get into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. So a lot on tap tomorrow. And by the way, if you are planning to attend tomorrow's U of L WKU football game at 7:30 across the street at Cardinal Stadium, get your tailgate started early at Churchill Downs. The gates are open at 11:30, and you will receive free admission just by showing your game ticket. You bring your game ticket over to Churchill, you will get in free of charge.
And pre-game before the parking lot's open over there for at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium, too, so you can pre-game here with our races. I'll tell you what, it's tomorrow's card and even Sunday's card is pretty unbelievable with some of the juvenile races that we have running. It's like Ben Huffman
Aren't
described last
week. Aren't
the
full fields great?
Oh, it's full fields everywhere.
He's splitting them.
And they're splitting all the maiden races, as Ben talked about last week on our show. So there are plenty of horses that are running this weekend that I think could have some major impact into the early part of this Road to the Kentucky Derby and Road to the Oaks season, and even into next year as three-year-olds. It's very exciting. There's some horses that are burning up the track in the morning mm-hmm. that I'm very excited to talk. We'll have Brandon Staubel, who is a clocker and bloodstock agent on our show in the latter part, who will handicap and get to tomorrow's card. But I'm sure he'll have a lot of these young horses picked out that he will give away on the show. He's had a pretty good track record on this show giving away some winners.
Yeah, and I believe we're having trouble connecting with Nacho Correa, so if you could text him, KK, that would be great.
We'll yeah.
give him a heads up that we're giving him a phone call. But those races, again, like you were saying, the two-year-old racing, it's really exciting. With this meet, a record $5.2 million is up for grabs for the horsemen over the 109 races that are scheduled over the next 11 days. And that's a record. This is the sixth year that we've done the September meet. We've talked about how it's a bridge between Ellis and the Keeneland, and it's a chance for a lot of these two-year-olds to run. And like you said, we're going to visit with Brandon Staubel, get some clocking information from him, see who some of the exciting horses. But whenever you have a Breeders' Cup in town, typically you'll get some nice horses. One of those nice horses arrived earlier this week.
Yeah, Chad Summers, who sent up Mind Your Biscuits. This is a horse who is the richest New York bred with more than $4 million in earnings, and he's won multiple grade ones both here and in the United States and over in Dubai. And this horse is here. He's going to prep in the Lucas Classic on September the 29th, and that Lucas Classic could shape up to be one heck of a field. The nominations close tomorrow, so we'll get to see a little bit of a better idea who will be in that Lucas Classic, but a lot of horses that'll prep in that race for the Breeders' Cup Classic or the Dirt Mile. Or the sprint, as Mind Your Biscuits is thinking about. He's considering all three of those races. He hit the track this morning nice and early at 5:30 this morning. So, you know, he's a horse that will be probably a favorite in the sprint or the dirt mile.
Yep.
But, you know, who knows in the classic?
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think he, you know, we'll talk with Chad about this, the mindset that he's going to have. But, you know, to finish 3.5 lengths back in second and, you know, a half length in front of Discreet Lover in the grade one race going a mile and eighth, it was not a disgrace for really your first time going that route of ground. He's got an interesting dilemma on hand. And I think he's not willing to commit until we see what happens in the Lucas Classic going a mile and eighth. Will that race be easy? What do we have?
Yeah.
We Toast have from New York
Toast
coming in.
Toast of New York, honorable duty for Brendan Walsh. He finished second in the Stephen Foster. There's a couple of other out-of-town shippers that have been rumored that they're looking at that race, which, you know, for a grade three, it's really going to be one of those races that could arguably be a grade two and even grade one with some of these competition that is on tap to ship in for that race. So it's very exciting for that race. And, I mean, Breeders' Cup everywhere right now. It's very exciting with, you know, under 50 days to go.
Yeah, it's 7 weeks. And so it sounds like we're striking out with Nacho Correa.
Yeah,
but here, let's produce on air.
Yeah, let's do it.
Why don't we call Ed DeRosa up at Woodbine?
Yes.
So if you could send that number to Magic Mike.
Look at this great audible.
Right? This is an audible. But, you know, in addition to the races at Churchill Downs, which we'll talk about.
Omaha!
I know. It's just an audible. Omaha. Kill. The great simulcast action this weekend. The Woodbine Mile is on tap. The Canadian. You got the Bold Venture, the Northern Dancer. That's all tomorrow at Woodbine. And then on Sunday, the Summer Stakes and the Talma. And then, of course, Inside Churchill Downs is brought to you by TwinSpires.com. So Ed DeRosa, I know, is up there. Mike has his number. And just see if we can call an audible. Whether or not we can connect north of the border, I have no idea.
I don't know. Maybe
but it's better than you and I stalling.
Yeah. You know, we there's plenty of things to talk about there. And there's... what, 8 2-year-old races that'll be carded tomorrow and Sunday?
How about these?
With some horses that in here that I think there are a couple that'll be bet down a lot from their morning lines who have been talked about in the morning. One that I will ask Brandon Staubel about on Sunday, there's a horse named Kefev who
obviously is that the right pronunciation?
Kefev, whatever it is, whatever the Twitter war that goes on there. Brad Cox had a horse named Zalia who won yesterday at Kentucky Downs about as impressively as could be a two-year-old filly. This one is apparently better on Sunday.
Well,
so,
that's good to know.
So good to know for your pockets out there. But
and then tomorrow, early in the morning, speaking of Brad Cox, the final work for Monomoy Girl in advance of running in the Cotillion. Your thoughts on her?
You know, that Cotillion is shaping up to be very interesting because you have Monomoy Girl and the rematch with Wonder Gadot, who for Mark Cassie just ran in the Travers and, you know, arguably could be one of those horses that was trying to fight for three-year-old filly honors for the end of the year for the Eclipse Awards. And then you have Chocolate Martini, who breezed this morning for Tom Amos. So it's really shaping up to be a great race over at Parks, my neck of the woods back there. For back in Philly, but Monomoy Girl, she breezes tomorrow morning, so we'll have to see. It should be just be a maintenance breeze for her, just preparing, just getting stretching her legs. But you know, she's a bet against for me.
Yeah,
simply put it, she's a bet
just
against.
Short price.
Yeah. Wonder Gadot, I think, is a horse that's up and coming, but you can't take away anything from Monomoy Girl's performance at Saratoga. So
you know, another horse. You know, speaking of Parks, to keep an eye on. We've got the Pennsylvania Derby coming up. I'm looking forward to this race because you could have hop. Oh, we've got Ignacio on the line. Okay, but I was just going to finish that thought by saying that we've got Hofberg coming back from the fever that he missed in the Travers, the comeback of McKenzie, and then Dale Romans has Mr. Freeze. Who breezes tomorrow morning in advance of the Pennsylvania Derby. But those are the races coming up down the road on tap at Churchill Downs. Tomorrow we've got Stakes Quartet, and one of those races is the Locust Grove for a mile and a 16th, fillies and mares. And a mare that I know I'm very fond of is Blue Prize, who won the fleur-de-lis handicap, an impressive style. And I thought let's have Ignacio Correas on the phone and have a visit with him to get to know him a little bit. Ignacio, welcome to Inside Churchill Downs. I'm Darren Rogers here along with Kevin Kirstein.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're thrilled to have you. Before we start talking about your horses, I want our listeners here in Louisville to learn a little bit more about you and your background, which is so fascinating. Did I read correctly that your heritage in horse racing traces back to the late 1800s?
Yes, I think that is 1872 when they founded the farm, and it's the probably in Argentina for sure the only farm that's still, you know, going. And, the whole family have done that for more than 100 years. I mean, different, you know, some of them breeders, some of them trainers, but always involved with horse racing.
And tell us how, from an early start of your childhood, you're raised in the horse racing industry down in your native Argentina. What were some of the first experiences you had as a horseman? Were you a groom? Were you trying to be a jockey? Were you soaking everything in? How did that work?
Well, we used to work every summer in the farm, you know, taking care of horses. That was our summer jobs. And then I wanted to be a jockey, believe it or not. And I went to jockey school for a year and a little bit more. And then, you know, I got too tall and too heavy. So went back to school and then started working at the farm, at the family farm. And I went to France to work at Kenet, the farm of Mr. Head.
Wow, what an experience that must have been.
Yeah, and he asked me if I wanted to stay, you know, a little bit on the training and then go to the farm. When at the end I end up, you know, going a little bit to the farm but staying with the training. And that's when I decided that that's what I wanted to do.
How long of a time did you spend with the famed trainer Alec Head in France?
Well, I went first to the Spain National Stud. I spent like 3 months there. I did a stage there. Then I worked for him like around 6-7 months. Came back in the winter to Argentina. Started working for the private trainer of my father. He was an awesome trainer. And he won the Derby as a groom, as an assistant, and as a trainer. So
wow.
And then I went back with a horse that we had in Argentina that was like the champion stayer. And we went to France with him, and I think it was 1982. Yeah. And the horse went to David Smaga. He trains currently for Judman.
Yep.
In Chantilly, and I spent like that year with him and Campero. We won the Premio Roma, Grade One, mile and three quarters, and
that's in Italy, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So I get to travel a lot, you know, racing there, and then went back to Argentina.
What brought you to the United States? And when was it?
Well, the country was going through a rough time in 2001. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that it was time for me to leave. And so I called Mrs. Perkins and I said, you know, you think you can get me a job? And so I sent my resume to her. And then I think that was like, this was like a Thursday. And on Monday when I come back from a barn, my wife told me you had a call from New York. I said, what? I said, yeah, I think that they have a job for you.
So wow.
I went to New York to work for Billy Badgett.
That must have been very difficult. Did you, at first?
It was very tough.
Yeah.
It was very tough because, you know, I probably never worked for anyone except for the trainer of my father. So I was always... And, you know, it's one thing is your home that everybody knows you.
Yep.
And you come here, is you have to start from scratch. Nobody knows you. You have to earn everything. And but when I was, my decision was going either to Europe or here. And I weighed my options and I thought that America is, you know, the land of opportunities. So I thought that, you know, I have a better chance here than in Europe. And the other thing that, but I didn't want to start training with Mrs. Perkins asking me, you want to train? I mean, no, I mean, I prefer to learn how they do it there and then, you know, see if I can go on my own.
What are the biggest differences from a training perspective?
Well, first of all, our races, I think that the average is, you know, they're longer than here. So we have way more races, you know, mile and a quarter, mile and a half. It's way smaller than here. And it's completely different. I think that we do, I mean, I don't know how to explain. It's different. It's like we give, you know, longer gallops. We do longer, you know, works, you want to work, you know, miles, a mile and a quarter, and you know, here is more speed base.
Sure.
If you want, but, you know, when in Rome, you do like the Romans, you don't try to change that. That's why I think that it was very important for me to start and see what people do. And I still, you know, I still like to watch other trainers and see what I can pick up. You never know when you're going to need something, so it's always good to be open to learn.
Well, you adapted quite well. You spent some time in New York with Billy Badgett. I know out in California, you spent some time with the late Bill Curran.
I had a previous pass through Lexington with David Banks for like 6-7 months before I went to California. Great gentleman, and then I spent like almost 6 years with Bill.
Yep.
With Wild Bill in California. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of good horses, a lot of action.
A lot of action. Did you, you know, with the young horses that he was developing? I remember Stormello for one.
We were very lucky. We had a great run.
Yeah.
And Stormelo, Moret, Bushwacker.
Yeah.
Freeze Good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Many good ones out of here. I don't know. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then I went to do the babies in Louisiana for Southern Equine. It was 2009. And when I was going back to California, I got a call from Sagamore.
Yep.
I was in taking the job, and they were very helpful, you know, to let me start. And they support me, and I start with them. We had 5.5 years, and they were great. And then I left on my own, and the rest it was hard in the beginning, but can't complain. I'm very happy and very happy of my decision to come back to Lexington.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, and I've admired your work from afar, and I know how. I can only imagine. Actually, I don't know how. But I can only imagine how difficult that must be to go from being a private trainer to breaking out on your own. It's hard at first. You have to get clients. You have to get horses. And you've paved your way out here in Kentucky, and you have the blue prizes of the world. I mean, hats off to you, because, Kosicki, blue prize. It's been fun to watch what has been a lifetime of development. It's funny to talk about a development. You're in your 50s, right? And it's you're an overnight success, right?
58.
You're an overnight success.
But believe me, the toughest stage of my life was my first time in Lexington. I went back to ride after like 25 years that I didn't ride because I didn't have a job, so I had to ride.
Yeah.
And believe me, that really didn't feel right for me. You know? But, you know, you have a family, you have to do what it takes. So difficult moment. I mean, other than when I start on my own. When you start on your own, it's always difficult. People don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to put your name out there and be lucky, of course, you know, to get the right horses like I did, and have, you know, people that trust you, like, you know, Mrs. Perkins or Maryville Farm or Louis Bravo, or a lot of people that have helped me in my beginning, Mr. Michael House. So it was, looking back, I mean, if you told me like 3 years ago that I'm going to be where I am, I wouldn't believe it, you know. So,
Nacho, Darren mentioned.
It was good.
Darren mentioned Kosicki, who I know is such a special horse that you've had in your barn, is a multiple graded stakes winner. He won our Wise Dan here at Churchill. What did that horse truly mean for one of the big horses to get you started on your own?
Well, I think that was the horse that that put me in the map. I mean, it's probably there is one before Kosicki and after Kosicki. Prove that I can, you know, train a stake horse, I guess. And he wasn't, you know, really an exceptional horse in Argentina. He was an allowance horse only, and he adapted himself here. I mean, he was all talent, you know. I don't know if it was the time that they give. I don't know what it was, but he transformed himself from being, you know, an allowance horse to be a great horse. I mean, he almost won a grade one.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And what's he up to now?
He
retired, right?
He retired. He's in a paddock. He enjoyed, I think he covered 3 mares last year. So he's a retired playboy now, trying to get some girls to his place. But he's having fun. I mean, I was very sorry because he retired, and he was, I mean, as sound as you can be.
Mm.
But Mrs. Perkins didn't want to run him anymore. And you know what? He gave us a lot, so he deserved it.
Yeah, he was one of those horses that I certainly love to follow. And that River City Handicap when he ran last year, that was one of those races where I was sitting on the edge of my seat. He was trying to get by Shining Copper. Saturday, you have a horse named Blue Prize, who one of those horses who was very impressive in our spring meet, winning the Fleur-de-Lis Handicap. Talk a little bit about what she was up to this summer, taking some time off and getting prepared for tomorrow's start in the Locust Grove.
Well, I mean, the summer we had, like, you know, we thought about going to Saratoga with her, but then to the personal ending, then the race ended up coming really tough. And it was, you know, like 14 hours trip back and forth, and, you know, was very, you know, warm. And so we decided, I think, that it was very important, the support of Maribel, you know, that let me, you know, stay here and, you know, and try. I mean, she loves Churchill. It's only like an hour and a quarter away. It's a completely different thing. She was training all the summer, training light, but training, and we just squeezed her a little bit for this race. I don't think that is her ideal distance, but you have to start somewhere. And our goal is Breeders' Cup, so we're going to try to face those monsters that run on the personal ending once, not every day.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And he's speaking of Abel Tasman and Elate, but Blue Prize is all right. you know, tomorrow.
No, I mean, it's like I don't have a. I'm not complaining about Blue Prize. I think that she's going to have to step up.
Yep.
Their game to beat Abel Tasman, but I think that is, if there is a place that she can step up her game, it's in Churchill. So, especially in the fall, that's when she was great last year. And usually, I think that we're going to be able to put her on the same spot. I don't know if that will be enough to beat Abel Tasman, but I think that the toughest, you know, she doesn't need to go to the lead. She doesn't need to be close to the pace. So maybe, you know, you get one of those races, and what you need is a little bit of luck. We know we have a good horse, so she's going to give a good race. I mean, we need someone to fall and, you know, and be lucky, have the luck on our side. So hopefully that happens, but that's where we have the mindset, you know, in Breeders' Cup. For me, she loves that place, that I don't know if it's my imagination, but that stretch look that is longer than any other one, and she loves that. She comes from, you know, tracks that have 3/8 of stretch, so that's the, I think that that's one of the reasons that she likes it, and because it's, you know, it gives you at least a fully quarter of a mile to come. And we'll see what happens. We are very happy with her. She's training great, and we are where we want to be at this point. We'll see what happened tomorrow.
We're talking with Argentine-born trainer Ignacio Correas. He has Blue Prize in tomorrow's Locust Grove at Churchill Downs, one of four stakes on tap. Blue Prize is not the only graded stakes horse he has in his barn. I'm a big fan of Donna Bruja, who the six-year-old mare, you know, you might remember her from jumping onto the scene at 5-1 in the Mint Julep Handicap. That was the last time we saw that, when she easily won by a length and a half. And she's been a favorite of mine, and I know she's probably a favorite of yours. What happened in the Beverly D when you know she finished ninth, was beaten 5 3/4 lengths? What happened that day, and what are your plans with her moving forward?
I think that what happened to her was that she went to the lead in two races, and I don't think that that was right for her. So we were expecting to do some corrections on that race regarding the result. I mean, it was, I don't know if we were, we didn't get lucky. There was no pace so at all, so it made it way more difficult to relax a horse. I mean, actually, it hurt my eyes seeing her that way, fighting that way. But, you know, it's like, it was one of these days that nothing was, you know, on our side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's racing. I mean, at the end, and the other thing is she get to relax, Jose get to relax the filly on the between the half a mile pool and the 5-8, she finally get to relax, and then everybody moves. And as Jose told me, say, "What do you want me? Just relax and then move her." I mean, I need to. He needed to try to make her understand what we're wanting for her. So, I mean, it was. I think that those two races were not good for her mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like they changed her setup. Even I don't think that she need to be that last, but she need to be covered, you know. And so,
are you happy with are you happy with her now? I know she's in training at Keeneland. Is she kind of move forward with her training?
If you ask me if I am 100% happy, no, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, she's sound, she's good, she run like she's a bullet every time you work her, but she is going the right way.
Yep.
But I can't say that she is what I want to see. Sometimes she get working, she's very relaxed. Working, she still got, you know, off when she hit the pool, she hit a little bit stronger than I want, but you know, it's like she's getting better every day. She have galloping, she's completely relaxed now. We put her behind Quantus every day for like a month and a half, and she's very, you know, she doesn't fight that anymore. And I mean, we're gonna run her a mile, so I guess that at some point we're gonna have some pace.
So you're gonna go on the first lady? You're gonna go on the first lady?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I mean, it's like what can go worse than the last race that she ran, and she got beat 5 lengths and 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there is nothing that can go worse than that day.
Yeah.
So you need a race that you have some speed. To have some speed, you need some good horses. And I still think that she's a great, great filly. And she doesn't prove. I mean, she proved it to me in grade threes, and probably she should have won or fight a little bit more on the Beverly D last year. But she was impressive on the stake at Tampa. But then when we came here to Jane Wiley, I mean, she went to the lead again. And one thing is when you go in, you know, almost 49 galloping at Tampa, that is a speed favoring track, and one thing is when you go in 47 and change fighting, it's not a good idea go to the lead in Keeneland. So, but it is, I mean, it's, Jose tried, he put her, you know, behind horses, and I guess that the damage was done when she did it in Tampa, and, you know, it was impossible. I mean, nobody wanted the lead that day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were walking, and she was in the lead. And, you know, it's those races that you win, but, I mean, when you say you are not happy, you say, oh, how you cannot be happy? She won by 3 or 4, whatever. You know, everything is great, but you didn't sow what you want for the rest of the year. So, and you pay the price.
Yeah. I got one more horse I want to ask you about in your barn. We have it's an unraced horse for Michael House. We have a mutual friend, bloodstock agent and private clocker Gary Young. I think he helped Michael identify this horse at the sale, and he told me to keep an eye on Gold Credit, who
he's a filly.
Yeah, a filly, a 2-year-old filly that I know Breeze just the other day at Keeneland, and just tell us a little bit about Gold Credit and what she's shown you in the mornings thus far.
Well, she shows a lot of talent. We are very happy, and she's a tick slow from the gate still, but we don't want to rush her. But I think that she's has a good prospect, as you can tell. I mean, it's one of those fillies that you love to have in the barn. I mean, she's a very good-looking filly. I mean, Daddy did a great job with that filly. I mean, I love her. So, I don't know, we're waiting. We are going to try to run her at Churchill. Mm-hmm. If not, she's going to be ready for the first week of Keeneland, probably. Mm-hmm. But we hope that she can translate what she does in the mornings to the afternoon, because in the morning she showed that she's very talented.
Nacho, it's really been a pleasure visiting with you, and we thank you for taking the time and wish you the best of luck tomorrow with Blue Prize in the Locust Grove.
Well, thank you very much, and the pleasure was mine, and happy to be on your show, and hopefully we'll have to do it more often, because we're doing good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, we'll see you in the winner's circle. Knock on wood. Okay, Nacho. Okay. Thank you, pal.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right. That's Ignacio Correas, and what a story behind him. I mean, the trials and tribulations to growing up in horse racing, mm-hmm. From a famed Argentine family, and then, you know, a world traveler, Alec Head in France. I mean,
yeah,
who wouldn't
been everywhere.
What horseman wouldn't want to learn from Alec Head? I mean, and then to go from a private trainer and leave your family behind and regrow the stable. And he's doing great here. Now on the Kentucky circuit. A gentleman that is joining us on the line is experiencing Churchill Downs with a top-notch horse. He's based on the East Coast for the most part, but he's got the great Mind Your Biscuits, New York bred, that's the all-time leading earner. I was surprised to hear this, but Chad Summers, welcome to the show. I couldn't believe this the other day that I didn't realize that he had passed Funny Side, the Derby winner from 2003. But congratulations, and we're thrilled to have you on Inside Churchill Downs with Darren Rogers and Kevin Kirstein.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, guys. Yeah, not only that, but he's cracked the top 100 of the all-time list for any horse that's ever run in America.
Well, that's dynamite.
He's 86 right now.
That's dynamite. What a nice horse you've had over the years. And I can only imagine how difficult a decision it is to have a top-flight sprinter that you know is a world beater, literally, going 6-7 furlongs, even a mile, and you want to stretch him out. And I thought he ran a dynamite second in the Whitney. But tell us about that mindset from you as a, you know, owner trainer to why you would like to stretch him out as he gets older.
Well, I think it's a combination of a few things. I mean, the big thing is we've always thought he can be a two-turn horse, but when you do what you do and you do it so well, it's all in kind of that old adage of, you know, don't fix what's not broken. And, you know, so every race we kind of always mapped out and always planned from when he was a two-year-old to running back in the Met Mile. That was always part of the plan, you know, and then we'd always kind of planned on ending his career in the Pegasus and going a mile and an eighth. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, he might have stretching him out was kind of always there. The opportunity was right in the Whitney. It was the right field. We were getting some weight from some of the other horses because of the way that the race was written. Mm-hmm. And it was worth the experiment. You know, he's a horse that the way he trains in the morning time would lead you to believe that he can go two turns. And, you know, all those people who say he can't, they don't kind of see the things that we see mm-hmm. on a day-in, day-out basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Chad, how much pressure is it to deal with, we were talking the other morning about all the other owners that are now part of this horse. How much of a pressure is that for you to deal with that and making these decisions?
Well, I mean, it's not only that, it's the legacy of the horse at this point as well. You know, he's obviously a fan favorite. And, you know, he's a horse who's kind of a throwback horse who shows up every time you run. And, you know, we gave up a lot of money running in a race like the Woodward or the Forgo at Saratoga to come here to Churchill for the Lucas Classic. And, you know, the big thing, there were two reasons we kept him in training this year. One was to become the all-time winningest New York bred, which he eclipsed when he won in Dubai. And the second one was to win a Breeders' Cup race. And, you know, the things we're doing at this point is to win a Breeders' Cup race. And the question inevitably will be, which Breeders' Cup race are we going to try and win? And, you know, hopefully we'll have that answer on September 29th about 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, exactly. You won't know that until you try the mile and eighth again. And I know Ben Huffman was in your ear getting a feel over the track against, you know, let's face it, some lighter competition than you'd find in the Woodward or the Jockey Club Gold Cup, rather. You know, that mindset is getting a feel for the ground, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's the thing that we're trying to do. You know, we're trying to take a place that we've never run in before and turn into a home court advantage for us. So not only are we going to run September 29th here, but we're going to stay here. And we very well could stay here through November and run a race like the Clark as well. So, you know, it's kind of a mindset of let's see where everything is at and everything. And while, yeah, maybe it's not a grade one field, it's going to be a salty bunch. And,
yeah,
you know, this certainly isn't a walkover by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it's going to be a good field. And it's going to be a field of depth that will hopefully leave no question as to, you know, what decision we want to make moving forward.
Yeah, Takas, you mentioned Dubai when he won the Golden Shaheen by three lengths back in March. Tell us about that experience going over there to the United Arab Emirates. That must have been magical.
Well, the first time is nerve wracking because you don't know what to expect. And I was very fortunate that Jorge Navarro had been there the year before, so kind of followed him around from when we landed at the airport to get into the hotel and all that stuff. I had talked to, I felt like, almost every trainer and owner and jockey that had been over there before to have kind of an idea of what you needed to do to be prepared. And obviously Americans have had a lot of success in that Golden Shaheen race, winning most of the renewals over there. So, you know, you wanted to be prepared. And when Sharp Azteca ran in the first race, and we had a little bit of a rivalry already, when he had ran in the Gaddafi Mile and ran so well but came up short, we were really, really confident going into the Golden Shaheen, and he ran the part. That being said, we were with post 14, and no horse had ever won outside of post 10 in the entire history of that track going six furlongs. So thankfully, I didn't know that stat until after the race was over. I might have been a little bit more nervous. And then we had the opportunity to go and defend the title this year, and you know, you say, well, we had post 14 last year. It can't get any worse. And then you get saddled with post one when you're a closing sprinter and everybody comes over on you and you get the kickback in your face. And the race you ran this year in the Golden
Shaheen
was probably even better than the one he ran last year. And I never really even thought he won until three jumps after the wire was over.
Yeah, drilled XY Jet at the wire. It was great.
I'm racking up the frequent flyer miles. Chad, this isn't your first time at Churchill Downs, is it? You spent some time here before in the past, right?
Yeah, when I was at the University of Kentucky, I came here for a few summers. I worked for Chuck Simon back in the days of horses that people might remember, like Battle One, Seeking Answers, horses like that, Grade One horses. And then I came back. I was with Billy Gowan in a racing manager capacity, doing some work with Billy, and then came back again with Bernie Flynn. You know, between Chuck Simon, Billy Gowan, and Bernie Flynn, that basically runs the gamut of the backstretch of Churchill Downs, that's for sure.
They're the horsemen of all the horsemen back there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I bet you've had plenty of stories with all three of those gentlemen, both on and off the racetrack at your times here. Probably
and,
not.
And I'll be honest with you, 95% of it we definitely can't air on this radio show, I promise.
That's fair. That's fair.
Ain't that the truth? We'll save that to talk about in the mornings.
Well, Chad, thank you so much for bringing Mind Your Biscuits to Louisville. We look forward to seeing them on September 29th in the $200,000 Lucas Classic. It's always a thrill when you have the Breeders' Cup in town, but when it attracts the world's best like Mind Your Biscuits, it's extra exciting. So thanks for the visit, and thanks for bringing them to town.
No, I appreciate it, and appreciate that Southern hospitality. So hopefully we get some sweet tea in the barn soon here.
You got it. We'll send over a sweet tea, except we like to spike ours just a tick. So
There you go.
All right, pal. Thank you very much. Good luck on the 29th.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Trainer Chad Summers. And we go from Chad to more immediate activity as we talk horses till the top of the hour. You're listening to Inside Churchill Downs. I'm Darren Rogers here along with Kevin Kirstein. Today was opening day of the 11-day the September meet at Churchill Downs. And it's an exciting time of year filled with a bunch of promising two-year-olds. We had Ben Huffman on the show last week talking about how many maiden races there'll be. They'll be splitting them left and right. I know there was like 16 in the book. But I can tell you, I would not be the least bit surprised if we get close to 25 by meet's end, which is pretty significant over the 3 week span. And one of those guys that, you know, if I'm going to talk 2 year olds, I want to get his opinion, find out who we're going to, you know, zero in on, who's catching the eye, and it's Brandon Staubel, private clocker who has a great eye for a horse, and he joins us now on Inside Churchill Downs. Brandon, how you been?
Doing great, guys. Good afternoon. And as if we didn't need more excitement for tomorrow, with the 4 2-year-old races and the 4 stakes, we have the pick 5 carryover too. So
how about it?
Exciting day tomorrow. Yeah.
And the best part about it is when you deposit on Twin Spires through the bank account, it doesn't hit until Monday. So that's my favorite part.
So you have a chance to build it up. You know,
it's exactly. I'm not. You know, just. Food for thought.
Well, we get started, and if you don't mind, we'd like to pick your brain on these. I hope we don't throw you any curveballs, but we start right off the bat in the first race, a full field of 11 at least going in the opener tomorrow. 2-year-olds going 6 furlongs. What kind of thought can you give us?
Yeah. So. If you're not familiar, I do a workout of the day every day in the program, and this so happens to be the race that I picked for the workout of the day tomorrow. Mark Cassie has a really nice 2-year-old colt, the number 4 Bold Proposition, that I made the workout of the day. Mm-hmm. The reason being is that I've seen some professional workouts from this horse in the mornings, particular on September 1st, took some dirt behind a couple of mates. And, you know, they do that to school the horses. And then, the jock just tipped this one out, on the outside and was easily best to the wire in what was right around 59 and change. And, was just really professional. You don't see a lot of 2-year olds be able to take dirt and handle that. And obviously the pedigree's there, Tappet, Medaglia d'Oro. So, I think that, 5-1 is going to be pretty generous if you can get that. Obviously, Ignacio's got, you just had him on the show, he's got one on the inside there putting the blinkers on with speed, so you would think that one's got to go, and at some point that speed's going to get the job done in here, maybe could be tomorrow. I think another one that you really have to pay attention to is, obviously Brad Cox is having a great year. He's got a ton of 2-year-olds out there. One thing about Brad Cox, when he enters a horse to race, you don't have to worry about fitness. I mean, his horses are fit to the nth degree. I mean, he really gets them fit and ready to go. He does a lot of schooling. He does a lot of galloping out. I mean, when his horses are entered to race, especially his babies, I mean, they are prepared. So, Math Wizard is a horse that, I'll say two back on the 3rd of September. This horse was in a 3-team set down on the inside. Sometimes being down on the inside, especially when you're young, can intimidate a little bit. That wasn't really his top drill. His best drills have been out of the gate. So very good gate horse in here, draws the outside. And the one thing about drawing the outside, especially with the younger horses, you hear this all the time, they tend to break out a little bit. So that would be a concern. But, if you had to make me pick a couple in there, I think those would be the two. Especially my workout of the day, the Cassie Bull Proposition.
I think Brandon Withers, no shot we get anywhere close to 5-1 on this one, because I think this is the steam of the steam in this race. Hey, what'd you think about the number 10 horse in here, Replete, for Dallas Stewart? He's not a guy who wins first time out, but this is a half to Discreet Lover, who's a very talented horse, and could be one that can maybe use in the exotics to play an exacta or a try.
Yeah, and this is a horse that, by He's Had Enough, which is a new sire, but you get that, He's Had Enough was really hot at the sales. Any Tappet blood is going to be hot now, and especially when you can get it for cheaper. You know, He's Had Enough stands for $5,000, which I'm sure will change. They bought this horse for $370,000, so obviously worked well at OBS and made an impression on West Point. this horse has been working with 12th Labor, who's entered later on in the card. They've kind of been trading punches. On 827, Replete was better. On the 2nd of September, 12th Labor got the best. So I think one that's still learning, but definitely when you see Brian takes the call, him and Dallas have a nice relationship together. So I think drawn to the outside, hopefully you stay out of trouble, and they paid a pretty penny for this one. I think definitely one to maybe watch more so going forward, but I wouldn't be shocked if this one hit the board.
Ultimately, though, in the opener, Brandon is going with number four, Bold Proposition, who is 5-1 on the morning line, like KK said. I don't know if we're going to get that 5-1. And just a side note, if you're racking your brain, he's out of the mare, Funny Proposition, who was the five-length winner of the 2013 Fleur-de-Lis Handicap. And who did she beat that day? Royal Delta. So anyway, it's not bad bloodlines there. How about these two-year-old stakes tomorrow, Brandon? The Iroquois and the Pocahontas. In the Iroquois, Tight 10 might just be the best two-year-old in Steve Asmussen's barn that's raced at this stage. I'll preface that. How do you see Tight 10 going around the ground over, you know, mile and a 16th for the first time?
Yeah, obviously the pedigree's there, and you know, Call Paul is a really nice horse that actually Gary Young picked out. Mm-hmm. You know, and has speed inside post. Santana, I mean, obviously this one's going to go to the front and has a ton of talent. The Brisnet number for that last race came back really strong, especially against this group. So definitely the one they're going to have to chase down. I think there's you know, Tobacco Road's no slouch either. The other Asmussen in here, obviously, you know, it's hard because you don't want to play jockey musical chairs. But I think at some point, especially on these bigger days with lightly raced horses, you can maybe read into it a little more than you would in maybe like a $50,000 claimer. So you can see that Santana takes the call, who's the regular rider for Asmussen. He stays with Tight 10. And Corey, who's ridden Tobacco Road and probably would have gotten the mount if he wanted it, goes to the Vicky Foley in here. So, you know, I think on these two-year-old days, especially with a couple of starts, I do read into the jockey moves just a little more than I would normally.
Now, Hog Creek Hustle is the Vicky Foley horse, who's 10-1 on the morning line, a debut winner at Ellis Park. And Corey does bail on Tobacco Road for that. I was looking at the Thoroughgraph speed figures, and you know, while Tight 10 has the edge, Tobacco Road and Hog Creek Hustle are not too far behind. What have you seen from Hog Creek Hustle in the morning?
Yeah, the last drill, the only drill that this one's had since the last race on September 1st, actually worked with a Greg Foley. If I have the mate right, the name was Honor Mission. And it was just kind of an easy drill. Was on the outside heads up with the mate. They didn't really want this one, it seemed like, to do too much, just something nice and easy. But another one in here, you know, you don't really see Vicky Foley too much pay $150,000, but I'm actually reading the article, it sounded like Greg picked this horse out originally. So, you know, I like the family ties there. But drawn to the outside, the stretch out, I would say that this horse has a shot, but definitely has to be in that second tier kind of group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was the owner actually called Greg at the sale about this one, and he asked if she could check out he could check out a couple of these horses that she had picked out, and he said, yeah, this one will go for a pretty penny, but she liked the horse, Patty Tipton of Something Special Racing, and they ended up buying the horse. Just as this horse is inside, Brandon, there's a horse named Maniwa for Wayne Catalano, and he's been as confident as I've seen Wayne in the mornings the last couple of times that I've talked to him about this horse, and he's been really confident about that work two works back for this horse. What did you see in that work out of the gate?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this horse up. You know, the will take charges have been maybe a little slow, but I mean, that's just them. The will take charges, they're typically got some leg and a little body to them, but this one's a son of take charge, will take charge, $175,000. That worked two back really impressed me. The thing I like the most is the action of this horse. Very efficient action down the lane. So when I say that, I mean, you know, there was no real wasted motion. This horse stays very low to the ground and really caught my eye in that August 30th breeze. You can, the September 7th breeze, 103-4, just, you know, you can chalk it up as just an easy maintenance. Just, they didn't want this horse to do too much in here. And actually this morning, Manny Waugh was on the way to the paddock, and I kind of sit right there and get to see the horses coming out of the paddock when they school in the mornings. Looked great in the flesh this morning, really fit and just really made a nice appearance to me. And I think Manny Waugh may surprise a little people in here, and I think has a really big shot tomorrow.
Yeah, Wayne wasn't happy with that last breeze, I can tell you that. He was telling me that the riders messed it up, so he wasn't too happy about that, but he is thrilled with that work, two works back. I think this horse is very intriguing, especially going around a ground.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, just another horse that this horse hasn't really caught the eye, so to say, in the mornings, but how many times have we seen this move? We saw this move with Monomoy Girl. We saw this move with several other Cox runners, but he takes a turf horse, adds blinkers, and puts it on the dirt. You know, I mean, this is just a patented Cox move here. I think one you definitely have to take a hard look at tomorrow. You can see that, you know, Jockey Musical Chairs, once again, Sean had ridden the horse a couple of times. Now, in this particular instance, maybe, yes, maybe he did choose 5/6, but at the same time, Giroux does is kind of like the go-to rider for Brad Cox right now. So I would probably call that more of a wash than anything. But just, you know, if you're going deep tomorrow in the pick five or pick fours or anything you do, you know, Brad Cox has been really successful with this move, turf to dirt, adding blinkers, especially in stakes races with two-year-olds. So maybe one to definitely throw in.
He's speaking of number seven Pole Setter for Brad Cox, who's 6-1 on the morning line in the Iroquois tomorrow. We're talking with Brandon Stoppel. Just a couple of minutes left. We're going to go over the top just a little bit because we want to get some of this insightful information. Let's go to the Pocahontas tomorrow, which is the last race of the day. We have a heavy favorite in there in the Tom Amos trained Serengeti Empress, who was a dominating 13-length winner first time out. She's going to be a short price. Are we looking at her, or are we spreading in here? Is there anybody else that we can keep an eye on that might spring an upset?
Yeah, so as far as Churchill-based works go, we don't really have a lot in here. We've got Serengeti Empress, you know, typical Tom Amos, the work. You don't want to do too much. 49-1, that was just a maintenance work. Drawn to the inside here with speed. Obviously, that last race was super impressive in here. Tapping Pearl on the outside for Mark Cassie. Kind of draw a line through that last race. Not really sure what happened, but the horse has come back to train in a pretty decent manner here. Actually, I had the last drill on September 8th working heads up with Blockbuster, who won first time out of Kentucky Downs, I believe, yesterday. So, you know, but the 12 post in here going a mile 16th is pretty tough. I did see on social media, you know, everybody's very high on their two-year-olds this time of the year, but I did see that Dennis O'Neill, you know, and you don't see him write things on social media very often, but he talked about how excited they were to run the number five Splashy Kisses. Mm-hmm. We saw Doug ship in the spring with Pavel, and you get probably what may be one of the hottest jockeys in the country right now, Drayden Van Dyke, into ride. So I definitely have to make sure that I include the number five Splashy Kisses.
And this horse trained this morning, Brandon and Darren, at around 9:30, and she was as good-looking as could be. She's a really big, well-fit dark bay in here. I'll tell you what, this horse, she may end up going off close to favorite in here over Serengeti Empress, just the way that I've seen her look in the mornings, and we know how dangerous some of this California money can be in here, but she's looked absolutely great in the morning.
Another one that you don't see very often, either. You don't see Mike Maker really getting two-year-old sales horses in here, and Love My Honey won first time out. Fairly impressive in there from the inside post. They paid $155,000 at OBS, and you don't see Mike Maker win first time out either. And this is a daughter of Shackelford. Should be able to stretch out a little bit in there and has been working well. It looks like at Saratoga and then almost a near bullet at Trackside. This is one I kind of want to have on my tickets too because, like I said, you don't see Maker get these horses very often. So he gets a good horse. Obviously, he knows what to do with it.
Open-ended wild card question. Give us a two-year-old that's really intrigued you and caught your eye in the morning that you're looking forward to returning it. Maybe at some point this meet, maybe Keeneland. Which two-year-old's really caught your eye?
That's tough. So I had this conversation with somebody the other day. What I try to do is not when I have my notes, I try not to fill them out and find out who the horses are because I don't want to be swayed. But I will say that Dale has a couple of nice horses that have not debuted yet. And I would just say keep an eye on Dale as we go forward because he's probably going to be unleashing some nice ones.
Got it. And tomorrow he has Blue Steel entered in the seventh race, which kicks off the late pick five with the $50,000 plus carryover. So that's one we might want to keep an eye on. You mentioned Will Take Charge. I believe he's a son of Will Take Charge. And then Will, Vicky Oliver today won the maiden special weight from two-year-old fillies with high regard. Oh, yeah, Will Take Charge. So, all right, Brandon Staubel, how can fans get a hold of your information and just give us a plug?
Yeah, so everything is just done with my people through email now.
Yep.
Just tried to just kind of, you know, be low key. I just enjoy what I'm doing. I don't really want to get so much into the touting and all that. I just like being at the track. I like having fun. I like doing the Twin Spires paddock shows and helping those guys out too. So if you are interested in any information on Twitter, it's bstaubs22, BSTAUBS22. Just write me and we can get something worked out for you. But, you know, I've kind
private clientele, private clientele, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's something fun. You know, I just like being out in the mornings, and I know that sounds crazy. I mean, who the heck wants to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go to the track? But, you know, there's just something for me, special being out there in the mornings and watching the horses train, and you just never know who you're going to see. And there's some days when it's super slow and you're like, what the heck did I get up this morning for? And then there's days when you go out and you see a horse work out of the gate, or you see a 5/8 move in company, and you're just like, that's why I came out this morning. And that happens frequently, and it's exciting. And, you know, the fall in Kentucky, it's all about the two-year-olds, just like we talked about. And Derby is a special event, but something special about the two-year-olds in Kentucky in the fall, and it makes it even more special with the Breeders' Cup here. So I just like being out there, but yeah, if anybody's interested, definitely give me a shout and we can work something out.
Two-thirds of us in the, you know, on the, you know, two of us in the you know, here in the studio and on the phone like to get up at 4:30.
Yeah.
The one talking is not one of them. It's not one of them.
KK is
as sick as you are.
Yeah,
KK is as sick as you are. Yeah, you guys are sick.
Yeah, but no, we've run into each other several times out there, and you know, I'll tell you this: I take a little break during the summer. You know, I went out to Del Mar this summer, which was great, but it takes like a couple weeks for me to get back into it. I'm in the swing of things again now, but it's not so much the waking up early in the morning. It's as soon as noon or one hits, because in everybody else's time it's noon or one, and in our time it's like dinner time, you know. So
exactly,
we know never call trainers around 12 to 2. Mm-hmm. Just don't call a trainer around 12 to 2 because they are in la la land. So anyway,
yeah, I haven't gotten to that point yet where I need the 12 o'clock nap, but you know, I've started thinking about it more and more.
All right, Brandon Staubel, thank you, pal. Really appreciate the visit, and thanks for the insightful information on Saturday's card.
No problem, guys. I appreciate you having me on, and good luck to everybody. Tomorrow should be a great day.
All right.
Thanks,
bud. That's Brandon Staubel, and good information there.
Oh, unbelievable, you know, information.
It's always good to get – it's very difficult. You know, you can look at workouts on paper, and you look for patterns and times, but, you know, Charlie Whittingham always used to say, time only matters when you're in jail.
Exactly.
So
that's exactly right. It's
great to get some information about how they look on the track. Want to thank Magic Mike for pushing the buttons and producing the show. And thanks to Ignacio Correas and trainer Chad Summers and Brandon Staubel for nice visits tonight. Big 11 race card on tap tomorrow at Churchill Downs. First race at 12:45. Again, you're going to the U of L WKU game. Bring your ticket, and you'll get into the track free of charge. Get your tailgate started early. Four stakes races on tap. A lot of good two-year-old racing. Full fields. Great betting. A lot going on. And the late pick five, more than $52,000 to chase on just a 50-cent wager. So I know I'm going after it. Good luck with all your bets. For Kevin Kirstein, I'm Darren Rogers, and we thank you again for listening to Inside Churchill Downs on ESPN 680 1057.
Your
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfort.